All right, welcome back. Here we are, and there you are, and we're ready to go. We have a lot of material here to present to you for your consideration, edification, hopefully learning, expansion of your personal database, which is what we're trying to do, so you can look at the chaos and more quickly really cull the most important information from the noise. There's so much crap out there now. It's unbelievable. You there, partner?
I am. Good evening.
Hey, you sound happy and everything fine. No problem.
Yeah.
Now we have to wade through this hell on earth again. Which,
no kidding.
We'll do our best. This is another story here. Survey of embalmers shows how many are finding rubbery clots in the deceased. So how long have we been trying to present this information? I'm not saying that everyone ought to be informed just by virtue of what we do, but you see these things that we were really presenting almost 3 years ago, these clots. They're different. They're amyloid clots, and so they're starting to talk about it now. And this is after, generally speaking, most of the vaxxed, about 80, maybe even 90% of the populace in this country, have now generated their vax injuries. To the extent that they're sick, they're not well, they've been basically nailed, and they're not going to get a whole lot better in most cases. Maybe even worse than that, I don't know. Another story, violent diarrhea-inducing stomach bug spreads in the Northeast, described as incredibly contagious. So, once again, is it a test? Is it real? Is it just noise? I don't know. Do you know anybody who's sick up there, back there?
A lot of people, yes. Yes.
I mean, with an incredibly contagious diarrhea-inducing stomach bug?
Oh, no. I don't probe them for those questions. With those questions, no.
If you're not seeing it on the social media platform, it's not going to be seen, probably. That's for sure. Okay, we have Dr. William Mackus, who participated in a four-person little, what would you call it, a mini conference? Anyway, they had a conversation.
Yeah.
And Dr. Mackus, again, standing straight up, he's Canadian, and risking a lot because he's not going to back down. So far, he's been very impressive in our view and have nothing to be critical about it all. So we're going to hear him in a couple of minutes talking about turbo cancers, which in this particular story is misspelled, C-A-N-V-E-R-S, Canvers. I knew they meant cancers, though, because I saw turbo, so I knew it. Anyhow, the number of spelling errors and grammatical problems in these stories that are being pushed all over the place are really remarkable now. There are a lot of them. It's like people
that's been going on for some time,
spell.
Though. I saw that, you know, in the local paper years ago. There's no proofreading anymore.
None. No. Nope, nope, nope. All right, tell us about Dr. Mackus. We're going to hear here. We're ready to go.
Well, all right. This was an interview he did with a platform that's calling themselves the New MDs, which includes Stephanie Senna from MIT. And who is the other one? Michelle Perro, who's a pediatrician. And I believe the coordinator's name is...
Zen?
Let's see. Yes, Zen.
Honeycutt.
Yes. And the very knowledgeable threesome that they do an interview about once a month with various... other researchers, medical clinicians. And this time they interviewed Dr. William Mackus on the turbo cancers, and he did spend some time talking about the shedding issue.
Which is, again, something we have been able to tell you about for, we're in our fourth year now. It's one of the first things we really talked about. And it's still something that to this day, lots of people refuse to accept. They don't really understand much about it. They think, oh, shedding, like catching a cold,
Well,
catching the flu.
they think the prevailing concept is that it's because it's not a live virus or attenuated viral vaccine that it can't shed. Well, yes, it can. It absolutely can. It can shed the protein that is, you know, being coded for, the spike protein and whatever else is in there, fragments of spike, miscoded spike because of the frame shifting, so the RNA doesn't get read properly.
The actual mRNA, LNP, the lipid nanoparticle.
Yeah, the lipids can be shed, are shed, that's confirmed.
Well,
and
Maka
the mRNA
said,
sometimes in its entirety is shed.
That's what he said.
And
you'll hear him say
additionally,
that.
MicroRNAs that you know have to do with regulating cell growth, i.e., cancer.
Well, if you're getting shed upon with lipid nanoparticle covered mRNA instructions for your body's cells to genetically change their whole posture and begin to produce only spike proteins, and not all the other proteins that your cells should normally produce, you can get that into somebody breathing on you. Follow? So the instructions are being shed. In other words, it's the same as being injected. You're getting it. You're getting the instructions, ordering your cells to begin to produce the spike protein. That's shedding. We worried about this in the very beginning. We wondered about it, but it is being spread. Also, some of the, I guess the DNA plasmids are being, the particles, DNA particles are being shed as well. We think that's also on the table, certainly possibly.
Possibly, yeah. So it has been
There's
confirmed.
A lot going on.
You know, this is no longer speculative. They have found the complete mRNA transcript from the vaccines in breast milk from pregnant nursing mothers.
The unvaxxed.
Correct. No, well, no, the mothers have been vaxxed.
But yes,
and
yes.
They were able to find the mRNA from the vaccine, the exact same transcript in exosomes in the breast milk that the infant was being nursed with.
I think Maka's says in this that shedding is spewing that also from the vax to the unvax.
It's entirely possible. It was in the Pfizer documents
it's in their
pertaining
papers.
To their clinical trials.
Yeah.
We also found it in the Moderna patent.
Both.
This mRNA or portions of it can be found in all bodily fluids in the form of exosomes.
We've postulated this for forever, that it's possible that the mRNA instructions are being shed as well. We know the spike. We get that. Possibly the pieces of DNA fragments also. We don't know about that for sure. But if you have data, and we have data now, that the mRNA instructions are being shed on the unvaxxed, and they are now beginning to go down that same spiral where it spreads and it creates spike, and the spike create misfolded proteins, which are prions. You can see the progression of all this. Why shedding is so bad should be crystal clear to most all of you listening by now. So, all right, let's take a listen and see what Dr. Maka's and Dr. Seneff, is it Seneff? I think it's Seneff, isn't it?
Yeah,
or is
Seneff.
It Seneff? All right.
I think it's Seneff.
I've always been a favorite. Seneff. Okay. Dr. Michelle Pirro, which we don't, I think we're going to hear a little bit out of her, not much. But here's Dr. William Maka. So take a listen.
Cancers, increased risk for cancers. Do we even have that information?
Well, that's a good question. You know, shedding is real. I'll start there. Shedding is very real. I mean, it's been admitted to by Pfizer in their own clinical trial documents. They don't call it shedding. And I always, you know, anyone who comes at me and says, well, this is a conspiracy theory. Shedding doesn't exist. It's a conspiracy theory. Well, no, Pfizer has admitted this in their documents. They call it environmental exposure. Environmental exposure through inhalation or skin contact. And they were worried about pregnant women being exposed to shedding, and that was supposed to be, you know, reported to a safety officer if there was such an exposure. So shedding is very real.
Isn't that funny to hear the term safety officer and Pfizer in the same sentence?
The big question is, how does shedding affect an unvaccinated child or an unvaccinated individual? And I don't have the answer to that. I don't know if anybody does. It would be good if we could quantify the exposure. If we could actually quantify what people are being exposed to, so we know that you can shed the lipid nanoparticle with the mRNA at least in the first few days of someone who's been vaccinated, they'll be shedding the entire particle through bodily fluids. We know that you can shed extracellular vesicles or exosomes with either the mRNA. So, for example, in breast milk, you find these extracellular vesicles with mRNA in breast milk. But you could shed them, through exhalation or through bodily fluids. And then, of course, the spike protein, you can shed that in extracellular vesicles or exosomes as well for really a prolonged period of time. And no one knows exactly how long. I think the longest I've seen in the literature is 6 months for shedding of spike protein. Dr. Seneff, maybe you could correct me if...
That's my number two. I mean, certainly it's been around, shown to be in the body still after 6 months, which is really amazing to me. The mRNA and, of course, the spike protein as well.
But potentially could be shedding longer.
We have always believed that potential, that very thing he just mentioned, is critically important. It could be indefinite that your body is doing this, shedding and dumping on the uninformed. I guess you could call them that, too. They're certainly not vaxxed, but they are uninformed, and they're out and about and acting like things are normal, and they're not. So these are some of the things that are being shed, and if you are still sitting on the fence about whether or not you should take that extra little step and maybe wear a mask in the grocery store or the market or in any kind of a small office environment for a short period of time, we hope you'll reconsider that, because I think we all need to bend every possible advantage our way in these very difficult times. And an N95 mask will help cut down on what is being thrown in your face, literally, by shedding.
Long as we've looked, as far as I remember.
Exactly.
Beyond 6 months.
Exactly. So I've thought about this. You know, when you have an unvaccinated child who's living with two vaccinated parents who've been taking the vaccines on a regular basis, let's say the parents are taking vaccines every 6 months. So every 6 months, there's going to be, this increased shedding of the lipid nanoparticles, shedding of the mRNA, then you've got this constant shedding of the spike protein. What is the effect on that child being exposed, on a daily basis, living with with multiple individuals who are shedding, maybe older siblings as well? So now you've potentially got three or four or five individuals in the household who are vaccinated and shedding, these various, whether it's spike protein or mRNA and so on.
Okay. Just to overlay on what he just said, keep in mind that this whole bioweapon program, Moderna, Pfizer, knew about all this. They knew precisely what they were doing. Here's more proof of it, just in the anecdotal parts you're hearing. They knew what they were doing. This is all being done by the plan, by the design, to depopulate and commit mass genocide. There's no other way to read it. No other way to read it. So you must decide, am I going to try to maximize my potential when it comes to shedding? In other words, not get it, make myself as safe as possible, or are you just going to walk into it and accept it? Don't do that. And now Eric has always had a theory that shedding on the uninjected has certainly a potential of doing great harm. It also can be taken care of, we think, by the body if you have a threshold below which you're relatively safe. In other words, your exposure to the vax is minimal. You maybe can handle that. Your body can dump what you're being given. And if you're around it all the time, though, you reach your threshold, you go over it, beyond it, and then you're going to start to come down with some of the key hallmark injuries and symptomologies of the vaxxed. And we're seeing unvaxxed coming down with turbo cancer, with what else? We can certainly some clotting.
Definitely heart issues. Blood clots and heart issues are very big. Sometimes seizures.
So,
and the cancers are in there, too. The women that develop these menstrual issues in some cases are hoodwinked into having a hysterectomy.
Oh, they get the bum's rush, and they get fear thrown at them. And
they don't understand why they're having this problem. Many people don't know about the shedding still, shockingly. And so these women think that they've developed some sort of pathology that is only correctable through surgery.
And you know who don't know about the shedding when you go out, dear friends? Everyone you see who's not wearing a mask and is standing within 2 feet of anyone else or talking or laughing or exhaling or coughing, those people don't know about shedding. So the answer is, how many? I don't know how many, but probably the percentage is around 90. They just don't know. You can see them. They're not taking precautions.
Well, you know, in this area, 90% of them are vaxxed, so what's the difference?
Understood. But we also don't like to see the vaxxed get shed upon either. They've got enough trouble already.
I don't think you're going to change that at this point.
Not much. Not much chance of it. Here we go.
I believe that, there has to be some effect. Now, you know, can this effect be permanent? I don't know. I really can't give you that answer. Certainly, I think, you know, the risk and possibility is there. You know, even the risk of cancer, I've heard this now. If such a risk exists, it would have to still be an extremely small risk. But I cannot tell you that the risk is zero.
Yeah. You know, maybe this would be a good opportunity because we're in Dr. Doom and Gloom school here, and people who are listening are probably going, oh, my God, what have we done? Vaccine remorse, you know, I'm married to a vaxxed person. Oh, my God. I have no people who are looking for partners saying unvaxxed only. You know, the Red Cross just came out and said, have you been vaccinated? Please let us know before you donate your blood. So there's all kinds of stuff out there.
All right. And as far as the Red Cross goes, you just have to wait 2 weeks. That's about it.
Yeah, that's been their policy from day one.
Nothing new. They haven't made any movements to try to make the incoming blood supply any safer. They're not screening for these problems.
Well, they're asking now, as I read the other night, they're asking as part of their intake questionnaire if you've received a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked, you know, why? Why did that policy change? And their reply was, well, we have some people that are asking for unvaxxed blood.
Uh-huh. It's pretty crazy. All right. Anything else that we need to listen to on this particular video?
No, that's it's a good interview. It's about an hour long. He does talk about turbo cancers and turbo cancers in children. It's an interesting interview. It's very factual, not sensationalist. Michelle Perro is a very sharp pediatrician, and of course Stephanie Seneff, you know, is just stellar researcher in her own right. So if you're looking for factual information and not so much nanobots and that sort of thing, this is a good one.
Nanobots. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Very good. So that is under our names. Let me double check in guests. So if you'd like to go and listen to that one, you can probably just click under our names. Yeah, it's there. Right. Dr. Mackus on the growing dangers of shedding at 44 minutes. I've marked that for you. Self-spreading vaccines are closer than you think. That should be an alarming statement for a lot of reasons. Well, it's not so alarming for us and you long-term listeners. We think it's already happening, self-spreading vaccines.
I would say so. And unfortunately, they haven't proven to be protective in any way, shape, or form. If anything, they've destroyed people's health.
Right. The only thing that a vaccine can be counted on to do, I think, is create the almost overwhelming likelihood you are going to become sick with the COVID virus. You're going to get it. Because everyone who's been vaxxed seems to get it more easily than other people. The unvaxxed don't have as high a rate. So figure that one out. All right, here's...
Well, they did that on purpose. So, the people that receive the vaccine, so-called vaccine, are able to contract the virus and tolerate it without many symptoms.
Exactly.
And so many of them right now are chronically infected. They're constantly shedding it. and making those around them sick.
Yes. Here's a little clip with Del Bigtree and his investigative journalist partner there, Jeffrey Jackson.
Preface this a little bit. They're talking about this particular type of self-spreading vaccine that's known as therapeutic interfering particles, TIPs or TIPs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another technology where they're going to try to protect you by creating a synthetic virus that is supposedly defective, that only produces a particle or peptide that can interfere with the virus of concern should you encounter it. So, in other words, they're going to make sure the population is infected with a synthetic virus that will protect them against a real virus that's circulating.
But the real virus, the COVID real virus, is a bioweapon.
Yes.
So
and
it's synthetic.
So, well, this should prevent you from getting it. If the SARS-CoV-2 virus makes its way into you, as if people haven't already been exposed to it, you will have some protection because you will be manufacturing. Again, this is a transfection where you or your cells will manufacture the particle, the transcript, that will not allow the SARS-CoV-2 virus to replicate.
Okay, here's a little clip that may be helpful. We do think that they're already doing exactly what they say that they wouldn't do. Here, take a listen.
So this is going to be a little deeper dive really to explain this. And let's start the story in 2018. So remember 2018, this is a year before the world ever heard of COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. We had Johns Hopkins, and they put forth a report. And this report was titled Technologies to Address Global Catastrophic Biological Risks. So they had all of these great technologies they were assessing to address these risks. And in 2018, this is literally a year, almost a year to the day that Johns Hopkins had Event 201, which was a fictitious coronavirus that swept across the world and caused all kinds of lockdowns and deaths. So 1 year before that, they start searching for these great new technologies. One of them, one of the key ones in this report is this. I'll read right from the report. Self-spreading vaccines, also known as transmissible or self-propagating vaccines, are genetically engineered to move through populations in the same way as communicable diseases, but rather than causing disease, they confer protection. Now, fast forward, the world has now heard of COVID. We're searching for a vaccine. It's 2020. The Telegraph puts out this article. Could self-spreading vaccines stop a coronavirus pandemic? So understand, this idea, this technology was in the mix for a possible chosen technology. We could have all had this technology already in 2020, but it was not chosen then. Didn't mean it went away. So we go into this article here, and it says this. Dr. Amish Adalia, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University, says the outbreak of the coronavirus may have come too soon for the technology. Dr. Adalia says the method of vaccination will throw serious medical ethics questions. His view is endorsed by the Department of Health, which explored the technology in a presentation late last year. In a study from November, the department stated that self-spreading techniques could eliminate vaccine delay. So I want everyone to pay attention to this.
It's
first time they talk
everyone
about this.
Everyone watching this show right now, that's you. You're a problem now. They have a solution. They're going to create a man-made virus that will sweep the earth. They'll call it a vaccine. They're now directly in competition with God himself. Their virus beats out, the natural virus. And this is how you're going to be protected. And there'll be nothing you can do to stop it. All right, everybody, just let this sink in for a moment. Just Jeffrey, let's just give everyone a moment of silence right now to recognize that this vaccine is so close, they almost thought it was ready 2 years ago to release during COVID. But they have a few things just getting in their way that they're working on. Think about it. It's game over. It's game over for anyone that doesn't want this man-made crap inside of your body. All right, take us. Scare us some more, Jeffrey.
There,
here we go.
Right. I'm just going to give you some facts. So you can see there that it says vaccine delay. It's right there, front and center in the article. This isn't a side note. This isn't some theoretical thing that may or may not happen. It's saying it right there. Now, it goes on to say in this article, the presentation also stated that such vaccines did very little harm.
There it is, rare, to, small. Go ahead.
That's right. In comparison to a pandemic. However, the department highlighted a number of ethical issues that arise with self-spreading vaccines, one of which is that it is less lethal, not non-lethal, meaning it can still kill. Some people will die who otherwise would have lived, even though fewer people die overall, it's stated. There's this greater good conversation, and it's front and center behind closed doors, but when you see it spilling out into the public in articles like this and studies, that's when you really got to start paying attention.
Well, it's what I said at the top of the show, right? It's what I said at the top of the show. The whole language is changing, folks. They now know the cat's out of the bag. They had a vaccine that injures. It also didn't work, didn't stop transmission. They can't get around it now. So this whole idea, remember, the entire theme of vaccines, when you all got them for your kids, I'm not blaming you. You were being told they're safe and effective. They're safe and effective. They're safe and effective. It doesn't harm anybody. Stops disease. Just like this says, it stops disease, except for those people that we know we're going to kill. We know it's going to kill some people. It's going to swell some people's brains. It's going to cause swelling in some people's hearts. Others will have cancer. Others will have blood clots. This is how this goes. No one
All right. That's Del Bigtree. It's a weapon. It was designed, it was built, and deployed to do exactly what it's doing. We know that. And the COVID virus itself is also a weapon, the bioweapon, synthetic. This whole thing has been played out, and it's game, set, and match as far as many of them are concerned, I'm sure. They've got 13 billion of these things injected in people. Let's round it off to 10, just for fun. And in America, 600 million, approximately, injections have been given to people here. But when they declared war on children, that to me was the ultimate giveaway, that this was designed to destroy human life. And they're doing it. They're doing it.
So that, they no longer have to obtain informed consent to do this. As of January 22, 2024... it's official. The FDA has passed a new ruling that is no longer necessary under the Cures Act, 21st Century Cures Act.
Right. It's amazing to me how any of these government agencies, the CDC or the Food and Death Administration, can get away with this stuff like they do. They just do it with impunity. There's no accountability here.
No.
Not for Pfizer, not for Moderna, not for little Mandy Cohen and the CDC or Rochelle Walensky. No, there's no accountability. And every time I see a picture of somebody giving an injection of this shit, this deadly crap to little children, I just...
Yeah.
It's good that I'm not there. I just wouldn't... The war on children to me is as unholy and evil as anything I can imagine. It's just horrible. And I think most of us remember what childhood was like. Some of us had better childhoods than others, but there was always that magic of fun and innocence that children had, and that's being taken away from them. And that is about as evil as it gets. I just can't countenance it. All right, anything else we need to listen to on that, or is that about it? Should we jump over to our readers and pick up where we left off?
Why don't we do that?
Okay. All right. So I believe we were at Cardiac Carnage, and I think we were at the second one. Yes. And we had did the first, there's four blocks, and you did the top one, and we stopped right there. So are you there?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So here's number two in this thread. I wish I could say this name. It's like one of the. It's like a Charles Dickens name. I won't. I can't say it. You can't identify these people. But it's a woman nurse has a kind of a fun name. All right, nurse. Here too, they used to work cardiac step down. I'm now at home care and I do assessments. AFib, clots, cancer. One company I work for, we ask if they took it. So many did that didn't. I guess so many more did that didn't. It's awful. And someone says to that, it is incredibly heartbreaking. I had my second 40-year-old come in with a, this is another nurse, with a heart attack. This one was actually out running when it happened, so it wasn't lifestyle that caused it. The charge nurse asked, why are we seeing so many young people come in with heart problems lately? I said, check to see if they have had the you-know-what. She said, do you think that's it? I said, without a doubt, and I know that it is what it is. PT, in fact. You want to decode that for me?
I don't see it.
Oh, it's all right. The other 40-year-old was in healthcare work, so they took the you-know-whats to keep working and provide for their families. And the first poster says, I know a girl who had a, like, what's an SCAD? Do we know this one? A SCAD. It's another heart problem of some kind.
Right, right.
She's definitely vaxxed. She was 50. She lived. She survived it. My company asked if I wanted it. I said, ha ha, nope. We're private, and they couldn't make me, and the owner didn't even take it himself. So this is about coronary heart damage, cardiac damage, and we got one more piece to go. Go ahead.
Yes, we have seen a few of those as well. Aortic dissections in young people without any history and no hypertension prior to the you-know-what. I refused all the you-know-whats of any kind. I was fired for non-compliance when these things rolled out, so I took a nice 2-year break before they basically started begging me for me to come back with my experience and skills.
They're still doing that, by the way. They are begging people to come back now. Oh, we're really sorry about the mandate. We didn't want you to leave, really, but we had no choice. Please come back at double your salary, whatever. Go ahead.
It's only going to get worse, because look at the industries that took the you-know-whats first. Healthcare, law enforcement, first responders. I think we are teetering on the very on a very scary future. Someone else asked, the charge nurse didn't know? Good grief. Answer, many do not. It's crazy how many do not. I don't know why, really. They just don't want to question it. They completely trust the science that was false, twisted, corrupted, and manipulated. I think, unfortunately, so many of them are very brainwashed. Next one, could this have something to do with the enormous amount of people that I know that are ending up with horrible AFib? It's practically every day I'm hearing of another person being rushed to the emergency room because their heart is going out of control. Just this past week, I've had 3 people getting an ablation for AFib. And next week, I know 2 more people getting ablations. And one person actually needs open-heart surgery. I've never seen anything like this in the 60 years I've been on this earth. I'm really thinking that the you-know-what is causing this AFib, which is, in some instances, causing clots in the heart.
Now, these are professionals, and they're shocked at what they're seeing. And I would ask all of you, are you hearing about this in your mainstream media? Even the alt news, are you hearing about this? No, it's not being talked about much. It's there, but it's not being pushed front and center. Go ahead. There's one more.
Very much so. The spike protein from the you-know-what is a toxin, and it disrupts the electrical conduction in the heart. The unfortunate thing, like so many things in, quote, health care, is that they are just fixing the issue at hand and not the underlying problem. So the people are going to continue having problems because they can never remove the mRNA from their body now that they injected it. Their body will keep reacting to it, creating spike proteins which are harmful and causing problems endlessly. Last comment, God help us.
Yeah. Here's another one on colon cancer support group. I've heard the medical community is scratching their heads on why the rate of colon cancer is increasing in these younger people under 50. Does anyone know what factors they think are causing this younger age group to accelerate? I know diet is suspected, but I don't think there's a massive difference in diet across the age groups, unless we're talking about diets in our youth. Are cell phones considered? Any other factors that are being considered? I will never know what caused my cancer, but man, I wish I did so I could warn others definitively of what to stay away from. An edit to that comment. I think brainstorming factors is a start, but then data has to be compared among the groups and factors to test the hypotheses. I appreciate people's brainstorms, but I guess I was asking more, what are the factors that the medical community is hypothesizing? I just hear that, and I
know.
Where's the honor and the integrity in the so-called medical community? Now, I know these people mean well, but they're being misled, misinformed, uninformed intentionally, and lied to. And that's just, these are professionals.
Yeah, there were 72 comments. Now, I don't know. I mean, it's Facebook. They could have been edited or deleted out, but there was no mention of the intervention. The people were offering things like, well, I mean, it might be antibiotic use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. Pesticides, chemicals in the food supply. Yeah, could be. What else was there? Diet, of course.
I think diet was the last.
Sedentary lifestyle. But no mention of, you know, what would be the most obvious thing right now. I mean, colon cancer has been on the rise. But I think, you know, even Dr. William Mack has said that colon cancer is one of the top five cancers he's seeing right now.
Yes.
There's colon cancer, lung cancer, breast cancer, leukemia, and lymphoma. Those are the
mostly
top five.
Turbo versions as well. We should mention that. It's what he seems to be talking about a lot.
Oh, and young people.
Under 50s. A lot. It's crazy. All right, myocarditis struggles. Now, it is said more and more that most everyone who's taken an injection has myocarditis, whether it's subclinical or they have pain and they have obvious symptoms. I don't know how many. I don't know how to break that down. But it is felt that most everyone who's taken the bioweapon has heart problems. And we've seen cross-sections of autopsied tissue from Dr. Arnie Burkhart. We've explained all this in the past in our program. So it's all there for you. Okay. In terms of this next subject, really struggling today, how does everyone deal with getting their family and friends to understand what they're going through, when on the outside it looks like nothing's wrong? And in response to that, people only understand something when what you are going through happens to them. Don't waste your energy on trying to convince them. Do what you have to do and don't give it a thought to what anyone else thinks or says about you. They are not you. Right now, only you is important. And this is directed, I think, to that person who's got problems. We looked at how the spike shuts the involuntary electromagnetic signaling to the heart. It shows how the spike shuts it down. It kind of surrounds the heart and stops it. So the heart just quits, and that's why these people can't be revived. The electronics have been broken. The comment to that, this is so true, I find it hard to live by, as sometimes it's loved ones, and you want them to understand. I've learned to try, and I practice this. Someone says to that, you shouldn't have to convince anybody. They should know you well enough to know you aren't making it up. I'm sorry you have to go through this. They should be giving you love and support. And the final comment It's hard, I know. I don't know you, and I'm not in your circle, but I understand. I'm sorry. It's so awful feeling dismissed when you are scared for your own health. I find comfort in these groups, knowing at least I'm not the only one, sending understanding and compassion, because that's what we all need and deserve. Okay. All right, go ahead. Myocarditis struggles, number two.
Yeah, a couple more comments. Same here. This morning I was fine, but I'd done too much and crashing down and in pain since. Luckily, my husband understands, but I found it very hard for others. Nobody knows the real struggle, really. I'm just keeping it to myself sometimes and don't want to talk with others. Otherwise, you always have to explain. And last comment, I think ultimately meditation has been the biggest thing that's helped with this. Hmm. It's allowed me to let go of other people's thoughts and that dictate my mood.
Interesting. Let's jump ahead and stay on the heart issue. Progressive heart damage. Now, this is the hardest part for people to understand, that this progression is nonstop. You don't get better, yeah. You get worse. So progressive heart damage. Quick update from me. I had an echo done, echocardiogram, in the fall showing mild hypertrophy. How do you pronounce that?
Hypertrophy.
That's what I said, didn't I? I was close.
Yeah.
With normal 65% output, I just had my follow-up and I developed a hole in my heart in the upper chambers. Anyone else have this happen? It's been 3 years, and honestly, I'm ready for this to be over. I thought I was through the worst of it, and now new things are happening. So this person goes in and finds out after an echocardiogram, he's got a hole in his heart. Amazing.
Mm. And, you know, and everything was fine or appeared fine.
Yes.
You know, what, last fall, 6 months ago?
Yep, that's what it says.
5 months ago?
This ongoing deterioration, says someone in answer to that, is quite challenging. I'm so sorry, David. This is a big deal. I want to say something positive and comforting, but that is not easy to do. As you know, patching is up... Patching it up is not a simple conclusion. Wondering if there are nutrients to improve heart tissue. Read about the hawthorn berry, or read about the hawthorn berry, go to cola, ginkgo leaf, rosemary, etc. Maybe they will at least slow down any further changes. And someone says to that, Bobby is appreciative.
That's the original poster answering.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I appreciate.
There's no I there. It says is.
Mistyped.
See, you're a master at that. I take these people at their word. All right. Go ahead, finish that.
I appreciate the sentiment and recommendations. It's hard to get medically evaluated because no cardiologist will actually level with me on what's happening. And she says back...
Isn't that shameful?
Yeah.
It's just awful. Go ahead.
Well, probably because they haven't a clue. But I am disappointed and amazed at how unwilling everyone is to try and explore and be curious about this. Everyone seems to say if they don't think about it, it won't exist. Functional medicine docs, though out of pocket and expensive, still seem to be willing to explore new thoughts and ideas. Maybe one of them will be able to help you. Another person says, I have a scar shown on my cardiac MRI in the myocarditis pericarditis area of subepicardial region of the heart. Pain leveled with time, but I am having bad issues again as of late. 2 years into this, years. Guess this is what the rest of my life here on Earth will be. An original poster says that's how I'm feeling, like a ticking time bomb.
Here, the these people have fought and fought, and you hear the resignation in their writing, and it's quite understandable. But the point is, this is not a small group of people.
Mm-mm.
There are people from coast to coast all over the place in this country, and probably in your country as well, who have heart damage now from either the bioweapon virus or the bioweapon vaccination. Hypertrophy. I got it. I've been studying that word. All right. Relapse.
More.
Relapse. Oh, there are two more?
Oh, you got two more. Yep.
Wait a
See
second.
Them? Short, yeah, short ones.
Oh, you take those. Go ahead. We'll move on.
All right. Sister-in-law developed a hole in her heart post-vax, but it was within a few months of receiving it. She had surgery to patch it, and I don't think she's had any issues since. Of course, no one is saying the vax did it. I don't know if she even believes it is what caused it. And last person, with my 3-year anniversary coming up, I'm in a similar place emotionally.
No one, of course, now listen to this. Of course, no one is saying the vax did it. I don't know if she even believes it. I just, this denial and this ignorance, which is what it is, about what's going on here, and it's certainly part and parcel of the policy of the AMA to keep their doctors from speaking out about this. They're just not telling people. And a lot of people just don't know. They've been listening here. I think many of them would have at least gotten a clue. All right, here. There's one short one here on Turbo CJD.
Yeah, I've got another one. This just came in tonight. So
you
two
have
of
it
them.
Ready?
Yep.
All right, here's the first one. This is what we've been talking about. If you've missed a few programs, we spent a lot of time on prion proteins, and how they're 100% fatal when they get going in the brain, how easy that is to happen, and how it may be the ultimate cleanup weapon in these horrible injections and the virus as well. All right, here's one. Hi, myself and my family have the misfortune of knowing and experiencing a loss from suspected CJD. My mom passed away last week, just 4 days after receiving her diagnosis. 4 days from diagnosis to death. I'll talk about that a little more in a minute. I'm struggling with this huge, unsuspected loss, and it's hard to find people who truly understand. Are there any grief support groups dedicated to prion disease? I've been digging, but I'm not coming up with anything yet. All right, this is the shortest one yet. We did have one, I think, a week diagnosis to death, CJD. I'm amazed that they wouldn't have been able to find this out unless the lady who died, her mom, was just not showing any serious symptoms. I don't get this. It's strange. That's a very quick.
Well, they're going to look at other more likely explanations for a person's symptoms, and then they rule those out, and you're left with CJD.
I get it. I just it's.
I mean, it
stage,
used to be uncommon. It used to be one in a million.
They should be looking for CJD routinely now, I think. But they're not. Go ahead with what you found.
All right. I lost my spouse to CJD when he was 47 and his mother at 62. Neither ever had dementia. Autopsy showed hereditary disease with a mutation. My son is now having symptoms. Long story short, he got a lumbar puncture, which shows the 1433 protein. Numbers are within range on paper. Does anyone know if 1433 is normal in cerebral spinal fluid? I just remember at Cleveland Clinic, that is how they diagnosed my husband until he had an autopsy. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed. My son is 18 with sudden onset falls and is now using a walker. Any ideas?
No. Oh,
18.
Horrible. Horrible. All right, here are two back in our group. Shedding getting worse. Let's see what this says. Now, I'm reading these flat cold. We usually do. So let's find out together. Oh gosh, I'm reading your story, and it's been almost the same in my case. 2 weeks ago, I smelled something. I had the idea that the chemtrails they were spraying were the cause. But then I remembered that I kissed my uncle and his wife on the cheek, and I thought, I'm screwed. It was like something burning my nose and my mouth. Never felt the same in other shedding contaminations that I have had before. After that, my heart was like crazy beating fast when doing nothing, just sitting in a chair or laying in bed. Then I noticed that if I had the mobile near me, the cell, it started to beat faster, the heart. I was sick for 2 days, feeling feverish and sore. I drank CDC, took ivermectin. After that, it developed in sort of like a flu-like disease. I feel well now. Well, there's one. Go ahead and grab the other one if you can. Shedding sickness in pets. That's the next one.
Someone asked, can the shedding actually kill a pet or cause a dog to be out of their right mind? My smaller dog always gets eye infections when he's exposed to vaccinated people, and my bigger one, ear infections. Both eyes and ears are detox channels of the body, so it's logical. My dogs haven't had any infections in a long time because I don't let them go near the vaxxed. My older and smaller dog is avoiding vaccinated people. He probably is insisting something, and he is blind, so he's more sensitive. Like, he used to love my mother-in-law, but after her shots, he won't go near her. My younger dog doesn't see any difference, but he was born January of 2022, so for him, this is normal. But he gets ear infections and urinary tract infections. My parents' dog got pancreatic infection after they were vaccinated, visiting my parents' house. Yes, animals are affected, and some animals don't go near the vaccinated. I know several vaccinated who have lost suddenly their pets after the jabs, and I know a cat who got blood clots after his owner got the shots. And many vaccinated are saying their animals won't go near them anymore. One of my friends who is unvaxxed, her mother, who is multiple boosted, came over. Her cats escaped and came back after a week when the mother was gone. Keep your animals away from the vax. It will kill them. It is dangerous for everyone, animals and humans. Shedding is killing us all if we don't pay attention. I know so many unvaxxed who don't care about shedding and who now have severe health problems. My friend almost died from vasculitis caused by shedding. Unvaxxed who live with the vaxxed have started to develop turbo cancers too.
Unvaxxed who live with the vaxxed are beginning to show turbo cancers. All right, protect your pets. Don't let the vaxxed pet them, right? If you're out for a walk, say, he bites, whatever. Keep them away from your dog. You've got to protect your animals. They're very susceptible to shedding.
Yeah.
What Erica just read is very important. And for those who are thinking of buying a puppy this spring, If the dog breeders are vaxxed, you probably don't want to do it.
Yeah, you don't know what you're acquiring. You know, no. Are you going to have an animal with a lot of health issues, or is the animal going to make you sick?
And a lot of heartbreak.
Or if you've got another animal in the house, is it going to make that animal sick?
This is not a joke.
You know, nothing's easy right now.
No. So if you can find a dog breeder or a cat breeder not vaxxed and who will not let vaxxed people come around the kennel and pet them, that would be something to give top priority to. Not easy. Okay, we hope that helped all of you out there with more information and data. It's not getting better, and I really loathe to say that, but that's the truth. Okay, be well, partner. Good job.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. And we'll be right back with Hour 3 next. So hang on.
Stock market crash.